Happy Sabbath, everyone. So glad to be here with y'all today. I still have the Texas thing. I say y'all instead of you guys. Now, I'm very glad to be here with everyone today. It's a blessing. I just came from Chelan, and it was a blessing being with them over there as well. So I'm going to try to project the same type of energy that I projected over there. Amen? Amen. All right. Church looks beautiful today. As far as just look full. Amen. One of the things that I just wanted to thank everyone for, you know, we had an amazing year, ups and downs, and we were able to get through it, my friends, post-COVID. So I am so grateful that, you know, so many people put the effort. We had, you know, before the year ended, we had a little evangelistic meeting and campaign, and we had met some friends from that. And then just recently, we also had another Dr. Eric Walsh that was with us. He is currently in Brazil and preaching out there and then singing with his wife. So pray for them as they continue to minister to others. And so we still have not finished. We just started the year. Amen. And so one of the things that has inspired, we had 10 days of prayer. And one of the things that I think was the culmination of all that we were doing and everything. Our brother Brendan, did you get a chance to speak? No? Okay, wonderful. So our brother Brendan, we had 10 days of prayer, and he basically, found like this desire and need to have a ministry, a prayer ministry here within our church. Amen? And he didn't want to do it alone, because I know Holly also wanted to have a prayer ministry, and it's just like God just put them together to talk about it. And so I wanted to give a chance for Brendan to just come up real quick and kind of, you know, just give the gist of what you're looking forward to in this prayer ministry that that God put in your heart.
So last year, I don't know if any of you have heard of a pastor named Pavel Goya. But I listened to several sermons, and he just really touched my heart, or God used him to touch my heart in a way that I felt like we need to be, as a church congregation, praying every week or even more than that for what we want God to do in our lives. We don't want to just keep going about our day-to-days and not realize that there's people in our church that need healing. There's people in our church that are struggling. There's people in our community that need healing. There's people that in our community that are struggling. And we as a church need to be able to pray about that and ask for God's power to help our church to grow, to help our school to grow, and to help our family members to come to Him and get ready for His second coming. So that's what I asked Pastor Omar, if we could do something online.
What's the ministry called?
I'm going to call it Prayer Line.
Prayer Line, amen.
Because it's online most of the time.
Most of the time.
So I'm planning to do it Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock on Zoom. And I think the pastor mentioned we might do it at some frequency, maybe once a month here at the church.
Yeah.
And it's not to be conflicting with our prayer meeting, current prayer meeting. It's going to be separate.
Yeah. It's an addition, I think. More prayer, more power. So I really appreciate you and Holly, you know, putting this together. And so I think our church definitely love it. Being on Zoom, it allows people to be connected, whether you're a couple miles from here or many miles from here. So like yourself. So I think that it's something that we can be able to provide for our church as well. Being online allows others that are in the area or others that are further away, like Philippines and things like that, to also join us. When we were having the 10 days of prayer, we had people from all over online watching us. So I think that this will benefit not just our local church, our local community, but who knows, worldwide, right? Amen? Thank you so much for sharing. And I look forward to helping in that ministry in any way possible. Amen. All right. So I just wanted him to share that because I think it's very important and vital for our church, a church that prays
Well, as a church that is united, a church that is united has God's blessing for sure. Amen? Let me go ahead and before I dive into the Word of God, let me go ahead and start with a word of prayer myself. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you once more for your mercy and your grace, your unconditional love. As we come here to your house of worship, we pray that your spirit may reach out to us, may speak to our hearts and mind, and that we may be able to choose you above everything. We love you, Father, and so we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Waiting above all things. How many of us have eagerly anticipated the visit of a family member, you know, maybe someone that you haven't seen in a long time, or a dear long lost friend, right? And you invite them over your homes, and the goal is to have everything in its place to give the impression that they mattered while you were waiting for your guests, while you're waiting for the guests. You want everything to be pristine. Perhaps you took the best china set out of the cabinet. Maybe you set the table real beautiful. Maybe you fluffed up the pillows of your sofa, made sure that the bathrooms were spotless. Maybe lit some candles to have some aroma in the house, smell good, you know. Or maybe you have those kids clean their room up, right? Because other kids are going to come and play, right? And so you wanted the whole house looking pristine condition, very nice, waiting for your special guest to arrive. By the time everything is in order and you're waiting patiently, the adrenaline, right, of cleaning and anticipation, the curiosity, you know, those things can wear you down a little bit, you know, as you're waiting and you've, you know, been cleaning and preparing all day. I'm not sure how many times this has happened to you. And so you look at the clock and you're like, oh boy, they haven't shown up. I wonder what is happening. And you start to grow a little impatient and restless and a little more impatient. And you start to wonder, did something happen? Are they not coming? How far are they? And so while you wait, you double check dinner, you make sure the kids are ready, you arrange some more, and ding dong, the doorbell rings. The waiting is over. Your special guests have arrived as planned. Can it be that the promise of our Savior's return has been long overdue? Are we tired of waiting in anticipation? Tirelessly, restlessly waiting for his soon return. May I suggest that the waiting is above all things as we have started this new year. Can it be that I invite you today to look in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, I love this promise that the Lord has given us in regards to waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 reads as follows. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk but not faint. What a wonderful promise. Amen. I said, what a wonderful promise, my brothers and sisters. Amen. What a wonderful promise. In this text, there is this verb that really sets everything apart. You may think that the verb is found in the phrase, the Lord shall renew, right? But may I suggest that in order for us to be renewed, it means that something had to be wasted. Some energy had to be put out. And so hence, instead of the verb renew, I suggest the verb before it, which is wait. Who amongst us enjoys waiting hours and days. When an automated call, you know, we make a call and an automated system answers my phone and claims it will get in touch with us shortly while playing the same music over and over and over again. Our door waiting. I love waiting when that happens. As a matter of fact, I jam to the music, you know, after a while. I adore it when there's a lengthy line at Walmart. I love it. Every single time I go to Walmart, I just hope that there's a long line and I'm just there waiting in the line. Even though there's two cashiers and like no other cashiers, there's a whole bunch of cashier lines. They're empty and there's only two and the manager's just looking at the cashier doing her work or his work. I love how she's not doing anything but just looking instead of opening up another cashier line. Why would she do that when we can just wait patiently there, right? How about when we go in and we schedule, right, a package, and we're waiting for that package, and the UPS truck was supposed to get there at a certain time, and we have things to do, but we can wait, right? And the package says it's going to arrive that day, and instead it arrives 3 to 5 business days out. I enjoy checking the mail all the time, waiting to see if that package has arrived. There's a thrill in just waiting for that package to arrive, even though it's supposed to arrive days ago. Or how about this one? I really love waiting for this one. You know, when you go and try to get a refund or some type of rebate or something to that effect, and, you know, at first, right, when you swipe that card, you know, to purchase that product or whatever you bought, I mean, that thing comes out of the account so fast, like the split second you pass that card, boom, the money disappears, right? But then when you go to return it or you go to refund it, I love just waiting how they tell me that it takes 3 to 7 business days to show up in my account. I just love that. I look forward to that. It's just, I love it. Now, it's two things. I'm being very sarcastic if, you know, I don't actually love waiting. I tend to be impatient at times for these such things, okay? Number two is, the truth is that we all can grow to be impatient. The process of waiting can wear us down. That's the honest truth. May I suggest, though, that when it comes to waiting on the Lord, though, the waiting is above all things. See, unlike waiting on someone over the phone or answering, you know, to answer the phone or waiting on a line that to see if it moves or not, here, this word wait, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, this word right here means a lot more than just the wait of a stagnant situation. This wait is characterized in the Hebrew is where not just that nothing is going on, but everything is happening. If it were so, we can look at this as, oh, okay, where something is happening because we're receiving this renewed and this renewal and this strength. This is why we soar like eagles. This is why we run. This is why we walk and not get tired. In the Hebrew, this word is not just a regular verb. As a matter of fact, the category in which it falls under it is actually dynamic. It's a dynamic one. It is called, in the form is called in Hebrew, a PL. And so a PL, this is the description of it. It says in Hebrew, it stems refers to the relationship of the verb's subject to the action of the verb. That is, the stem conveys a grammatical voice relationship. And so it expresses the bringing about of a state. And so the object of this verb's action suffers the effect. My friends, in lamer terms and in our language a little bit here, it says the meaning of this verb is a true action. The wait is not one that is a stagnant, doing nothing, but it is actually a dynamic, and that because in that regards, because it is something we suffer and bring about in the state of urgency for the Lord to come and renew our soul with strength and wings that soar like an eagle. It is because we are working for his return in the wait that we grow weary and need renewal. That is why this waiting is above all things. So what does this waiting look like for you and I this year? What would this waiting look like? I believe Jude says this best. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 through 21 says, "But you, beloved, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God as you await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you and I eternal life." Wow, my friends. It is also why we can see here in the book of John 14:15, "Keep the love of God," which says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In Matthew 5:48, it says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Because John 13:33 says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you also love one another." And so by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, and you, if you love one another. And so we must continue to build our faith. We do this by witnessing to others. We must continue to pray so that the Holy Spirit can guide us by reminding and teaching us God's way. And lastly, all is encompassed by keeping ourselves in the love of God. This will lead us into the wonderful mercy of Christ Jesus that gives us to the wait for eternal life. That is why this waiting is above all things. He is the one that makes us perfect. He is the one that calls us on loving one another. Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. So there is this story of an elderly Italian man living alone in New Jersey. And he wanted to plant his annual tomato garden. But it was very difficult work for him since the ground was hard. So normally his son would be the one to help him, you know, deal with this ground and preparing for the garden. But his only son who would help him is currently in prison. And so the old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. He stated, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me, like the old days. Love, Papa." A few days later, he received a letter from his son. And the letter read, "Dear Pop, don't dig up the garden. That's where the bodies are. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the whole entire lot without finding one body. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vincent." Are we not living in circumstances that we're surrounded by tough soil? It seems that it's almost impossible to be able to plant a seed in the heart of man. Yet God is willing to be able to find the means to help us to do so. We just have to seek first his kingdom. Be willing to go to the grounds he has prepared and start to throw that seed. I was at that pastoral retreat not too long ago. And I kid you, I love seeing my pastoral friends and saying hello and all that. But it comes a point as we're in those meetings and they're just talking, and you can kind of see everyone in their own world a little bit sometimes, and people pull out their laptops and start typing away. I really try to pay attention and kind of join them in this hoorah and just trying to get us motivated type of thing. I'm a self-motivator, so I really, you know, I was just like, come on, let's get this going, you know? And so at that moment, I just decided to talk to God. I said, God, what is it that you really have for me just being here? How can I make this the most out of the situation? And waiting and waiting, nothing happened, of course, except my friend next to me, we started having a small conversation. And in that conversation, it was very inspiring because he says, Omar, I wish I were like you, my man. And I'm like me? He's like, yeah. He goes, I wish I had what you have. I said, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you have this experience and you know how to relate to people sometimes. And I just wish I had that. You know, I'm a brainiac and I know all the scriptures and I know all this and I know all that. And he does. This gentleman, you will get to meet him. His name is Anthony Burrell. In April, we're planning hopefully to have him here. And he's like going on and on, you know, about how he wishes he had what I had. But the funny thing is, I turned around and said, I wish I had what you had. The way you memorize text, the way you bring it together, the way your eschatology, everything that you have, I wish I had that. It's funny. We both wish the same on each other, right? And so he goes, yeah, that's amazing. I just wish we can just experience the power of God in such a way. And I said, yeah. Me too. And so that night we head to our hotel room and I'm just waiting there, falling asleep. Next morning, it's time to go get ready to go back to our meeting. And as we go back, as I head out the hotel, out in the back, I realized that my vehicle was completely frozen. The night had rained and the whole vehicle was just iced. So I'm like, oh boy, so I hope this door opens. So I put in my key and I turn the key and I try to open the door and it wouldn't open. And I didn't want to be late for the meeting. We have actually one of the pastors that we just recently hired. It's a woman and she's new to the area and she was going to have the devotional, the opening devotional for our pastors. And I didn't want to miss it. Her name is Chantel. And I was just like, I want to go support Chantel. And I was like, Lord, please let this door open. And so right when I'm saying that, this gentleman is coming out of the doors and, you know, he's just shoveling and moving things around and everything. And he looks at me like with that face of despair and trying to open the doors. I was trying to, you know, hit it with my shoulder and just kind of break the ice. And he's like, sir, do you need any help? And I looked at him like, yes. And he goes, I'll get some hot water right away. So as I was waiting there, it seemed like an eternity waiting for that hot water to come. And something in my mind said, Omar, did you think about turning the key the other way? And when I realized at the moment as I turned the key the other way and I put it in and I turned it the other way, I had locked the door instead of opening it. And I was like, really, Omar? Really? That's the type of day we're having today. And here comes this gentleman as I'm opening the door and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm all set. And he goes, oh, no problem. You know, with a big smile on his face and this huge bucket of hot water. And he walks over to his vehicle. And as he walks over to his vehicle, I have to look back and I see that vehicle looks familiar. Well, it just happened to be that night, the last dream that I had, I saw that vehicle, the same vehicle, a gray Scion, two-door Scion. And so I asked this gentleman, I said, sir, is that your vehicle? And he says, it is my vehicle. And I said, that's amazing. And so I go into the vehicle really quick. I was inspired and I was moved to go and get this track and hand him the track, even though I was in a hurry. And I was waiting for my friend Anthony to come down. And so as I go and give him the track, I say, I gotta give you this, sir. I gotta give you this. And he waits patiently and I give him the track. I said, sir, I had a dream of your vehicle and that I was speaking to someone last night. I couldn't see their face, but I'm pretty sure if you're the owner, then this is why I need to give you this. And he takes the tract and he sees that it says a letter from Jesus or a letter of love from Jesus, something to that effect. And he looks at me and he starts to tear up. And he says, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. He goes, I've been looking for a church to go to. And I'm like, whoa. I said, sir, do you have a phone? And he goes, yes. I said, I have no card on me, but I can give you. Look up Seventh-day Adventist Church near me. And so he goes, okay. And so as he's looking, I said, I got one more thing for you. I felt compelled to give him one more thing. And so I go into the car, and mind you, we had three pastors that were retiring. And so they brought all their books there at the meeting, or at least most of their books. It was like three tables full of books. Plus the ABC was giving out free books. And if it wasn't for my wife, I would take all the books, but then she would probably build a house for me out in the back with those books, you know. We can't handle no more books. Lola probably would kick me out too with all those books. And so I was like, you know what? I said at that moment, I said, I got something for you. And I had this particular book that I had for someone else. It was The Great Controversy, illustrated with beautiful pictures in it. And I said, I have this book for you. And I went to get the book. I finally found it. I came out and I opened it to the last chapter. And I said, you have to read this last chapter. But when you read the last chapter, then I want you to start from the beginning. And he goes, Pastor, amen, because I'm a bookworm. I love reading books. And I was like tempted to give him a whole box of books, but I didn't want to overwhelm him. I said, well, amen, brother. Remember, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and just type in near me. You'll find the most closest church here to our area, which I'm pretty sure there's a lot of them. And so he left so happy. While that was happening, my friend Anthony came out. And he was listening to the whole ordeal and me talking to him about Christ and all this other stuff. And so he was touched and he said, can I pray? And he prayed and we prayed and the gentleman left and he felt so happy. He's like, wow, that was amazing, Omar. I actually experienced it with you right there face to face. And I said, amen, brother. I said, this was a divine appointment. That's the way God works. So I thought we was good. We was done. We had to go to Denny's real quick to eat something. And so we go to Denny's. And the funny thing is, as we enter, this tall man, also this Caucasian tall man, walks right behind us. He's also with a nice shirt, you know, a nice button-down shirt with some nice slacks, you know, some of the boots or whatever. He looked very sharp. So I thought that he was a pastor that I just didn't know because I don't know all the pastors. Anthony knows all the pastors. I don't know all the pastors. And so I thought he was a new guy. And so the lady comes and says, oh, how many? And she goes, three. And I look back and I'm like, well, it was really supposed to be us two, but you know, yeah, he's a pastor. But so I look at him. He's like, oh, you don't have to. And I said, no, it's okay. Come with us. Come with us. Sit with us. And so we walk to the table and as, you know, they sit us down. Anthony and I sit together. Our new friend sits in front of us. And so I'm like, so, what area are you in? Because that's what pastors that don't know each other, that's what we ask. What area are you pastoring? So I'm just saying, what area are you in? And he goes, oh, I'm from British Columbia area. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm from Brewster. And he's from, is it Orville? Orville. And so we're just here. And he's just like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'm thinking the whole time that he's a pastor. Okay. Anthony knew that he wasn't a pastor, but Anthony's cracking up because he knows what I'm thinking. So I'm like, so how's it going? How's the pastoring? And he's like, pastoring? He goes, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a truck driver. I drive trucks up and down from New British Columbia to over here. And then, you know, we deliver furniture. And I'm like, oh, so we had this complete stranger sitting in front of us, you know, and I looked at Anthony like, this is a divine appointment. So now is your time to do what you saw me do. And so Anthony starts, out of everything that he picked, I don't know how he came up with this, he started talking about politics, okay? Out of all the subjects that you could pick, he started talking about politics. And I'm like, okay, you want to go that route. But the most amazing thing was that this man loved politics. And so he just rambled politics away, about Canadian politics, American politics. And it was just amazing to see him and my friend Anthony just, you know, take off with that. And at that particular moment, I started praying in my mind. I said, Lord, let this be a good conversation. Our food comes. And so we were like, can we pray with you, my brother? And he goes, yes, go ahead. And then so we pray and then say, in Jesus' name, amen. And then he looks up. He goes, can I pray too? And we say, sure, you can. And then he goes in and then he ends the prayer in Jesus' name, amen. And then he goes like this. You know, he does the cross thing. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so we're just having this conversation and we're just, you know, and finally we give our testimonies. He had this burden in his heart that because he was a white man, that he had this thing called white privilege, and that he saw it in his childhood. He didn't understand it. And he saw it in his upbringing, where his father was this engineer and they lived in a certain area in the suburbs. But his friend, who was African-American, had the same type of job, but lived in a lesser, nicer area. And he said that bothered him. He said, why can't we live together? If he has the same job and gets paid the same, why is it that we live separate? And so in his mind, he had this burden about white privilege. And so I told him a story. It was my mother's story. I told him my mother's story. And this man starts to tear up. And Anthony starts to tell him his story as a black man and our experiences in America. And at the end, I remember at the end, he says, well, I want to tell you something personal. My mother passed away not too long ago. But I remember one thing that she told me when I was younger. And she told me to follow Jesus, to live my life like Jesus. And this man, grown man, just tearing up and crying, he says, and all I've tried to do since then is follow Jesus. I read my Bible every day. I'm a Catholic, and I read my Bible every day. And your stories really inspired me, because I thought that I was doing something wrong. That my skin color, you know, just being white was wrong because of it, because of what we've done, and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, no, sir. I said, the beautiful thing about America is that we all have a shot. Some of us may experience rougher roads, but like I explained, you know, you have to persevere. You have to trust God. And he's like, amen. And at that moment, we decided to conclude our meeting because we were going to be late to go see Shante. And so my brother Anthony was so happy. He was like, man, this was an awesome conversation. Do you mind if we pray with you? And so he told Anthony, no, please pray for me as well. And so we prayed for him. And I'm seeing Anthony as he's praying. I'm looking at the whole situation as they're praying. And like, wow, Lord, you set this divine appointment up. And so Anthony wanted to have that experience, you know. And so as he says, in the name of Jesus, amen, he comes and does this. And he does the cross thing. And I said, there you go. You got the experience now. And he's like, and he starts laughing. He goes, I don't know. I had to do it. I had to do it so the young man, the gentleman can understand that we're all in this together. My friends, imagine if Noah just waited. Like, not waited in the sense of being stagnant, but imagine him waiting, right? What did he accomplish? Imagine if Abraham Lincoln waited, not stagnantly, but what did he accomplish in waiting? Imagine if Martin Luther King just waited. Where would we be at today? Imagine if William Miller just waited. Where would we be at today? And so what I have to ask you today is, what are they going to say about the Brewster Seventh-day Adventist Church just waiting? What are they going to say above all things that they wait dynamically, soaring like high eagles, running and walking, knowing that they will not grow weary because the Lord had renewed their strength? knowing that he gave him enough to go the extra mile, I pray and wait. I don't pray and wait stagnantly. I pray and wait dynamically. I want Jesus to come today. The waiting here that we need to do is get closer to God. It brings us closer to God, closer to the coming of Jesus. Apologize. Closer to the coming of Jesus. And like Revelation chapter 14, 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keepeth the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So above all things, today is a new day and we wait dynamically. I hope that is your prayer today, that you allow God to work that in your life as we move forward to the new season, as we look forward to this new year, that we don't stay stagnant, that we move dynamically and powerfully. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once more for giving us the opportunity to see how one word of your powerful word makes a difference. Although we wait, Father, let us not grow weary and tired and stagnant, but renew our lives, renew our soul. Renew us, Father. Give us the strength that we need to continue pressing on, pushing forward. Father, we ask you to bless our church, our members. We ask you to bless this community. As we seek those that seek your face, as we seek those that are looking for some type of hope in this world of despair, as we see how others lose hope and that whether there is a God or not because of all the things that are happening in this world, Father, may we be able to share the gospel truth to others and open their minds to the amazing truth that you have set before us, that you are coming soon and that the waiting one day will be all over with, that soon we will see you face to face. There will be no more sheds of tears, no more dying, no more lying, no more COVID, no more cancer, no more homelessness, no more suffering. Father, I can't wait until that day, and I know my church here in Brewster can't wait either. So prepare us. May we not stay stagnant. May we pray like never before. May we witness like never before. May we speak Jesus like never before. May hearts be moved. May mountains move and oceans split so that we can walk through the promised land. We can't wait to see you, Father, so we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.